This is Useless Conversations with Kimmy
and Jess.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good.
Good. So I guess we're going to kick off this week by explaining who we are. Since last week's pilot episode, let's be honest, it just happened so fast and I kind of wasn't expecting to be able to edit it so quickly and put it out there, but Anchor is a really great app, so
yeah, I don't think we anticipated the response we got either, but
yeah,
there's people out there responding that probably don't know me.
Yeah.
Or same. Vice versa.
Yeah. Which is, it's a shame. They really should know us both, but since they don't, let's introduce ourselves. So,
yeah.
So my name is Kimmy and I will be the loud one. And I think that's how people will remember me. It's probably going to be something put on my tombstone if I have one. Who knows? But I am the same age as you because our mothers are sisters.
Correct.
And I am named after your mother, which creates no confusion ever.
No.
And we were born almost 2 months apart.
Correct.
Okay. And so I said, okay, like I didn't know. And you said, correct, like, yes, you are right. Gold star.
I just want to make sure that memory's still working for you.
Yeah. No, I have a toddler, so that's fair. That is fair. I do have a toddler and I am married and I live in the great Pacific Northwest, you know, where it rains and a lot of fun things don't happen. So
that's very exciting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not right now, especially because of the great quarantine.
Right.
For me, it's been a little bit of a quarantine-y. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. I don't have to lie about that. I don't. But
I think a lot of people will sympathize and empathize with that.
Yeah, I feel like it's a statement that can be heard around the world, whether you imbibe or not. Just
right.
A thing that a lot of people would rather be doing. So, and then, so you can maybe talk now because I talk a lot, and you are the one who talks less than I do. And by the way, much more softly, and I think that can go on your tombstone.
I mean, yes, that's true. I am more quiet,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of shocking that I'm doing this with you because I am the more quiet, like sit back, observe. But yes, I am Jessica, and I am Kimmy's cousin, and she is named after my mother.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, your mom told her what your name was when she was still pregnant with me.
Yeah.
Which, right.
I mean, we can say all day that that wasn't a manipulative tactic to get free babysitting in the future. But as with the quarantini joke here, we don't have to lie.
Right.
No, obviously. Our mothers were very close. My mother, unfortunately, has passed away. Your mother is still very much with us, and she reminds us constantly of her presence.
Yes, very much so.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm grateful for and thankful for every day. So that's nice. I'm sure you are too, just real.
I mean, yeah, of course I'm grateful and thankful, but sometimes
mm-hmm. yeah,
because she is my parent and not my cool aunt.
Right.
She may not always be my favorite person at that moment.
Yeah. And honestly, I think that's where, because Aunt Missy made a joke about how we were going to get grounded if we didn't mention our mothers in a thread on Facebook the other day, where we were telling her she's where we got our pretty from. And I right. think we both agree that Aunt Missy is our cool aunt.
She totally is.
Like, I personally think Aunt Kim is a cool aunt. But Aunt Missy is our joint auntie.
Yes.
Jokes around with us very frequently.
Yes.
But I'm sure if you asked one of her children, they'd be like, oh, yeah, like Mary Kay for sure. Or what? Yeah. They'd say
Wendy.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of them.
There's so many. We have so many aunties. Jenny. They'll just start throwing out names of people we don't even know. And I'll be like, is that one we haven't met yet?
That actually could be.
That did happen. That could be a future episode. I think we have to get some waiver signed or something to discuss.
Right. Probably.
But yeah, so we are cousins. I am half Canadian, and my dad's family is from the Midwest of Canada. We're French Canadian. My grandparents both are from Quebec, and they moved to the Midwest, to more Manitoba, when my grandpa went to go work on the utility lines in very rural areas, because they were trying, you know, Canada was trying to expand into those areas, and there were a lot of big companies going in and finding a lot of minerals to mine and stuff like that. So my grandpa found work doing that. So that's my dad's side of the family, but you're on my mom's side of the family. Mm-hmm. And you don't live in the Pacific Northwest. You live across the mountains.
Well, we're still the Pacific Northwest, but I'm just on the opposite side of the state.
So I just want to, just so we're clear about this, I can get to the inlet for the ocean in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, I cannot.
Right. Not that we need people to know exactly where we live if they don't know us, but I'm just saying, like, I don't want to confuse people who've never been here, because yes, you live in Washington State, that's true, and yes, yes, the Pacific Northwest of the United States.
Yes.
But as far as like Washington goes.
Oh, you're like as far that way as, well, not maybe as far, but
yeah.
You're but there.
Can I just say, fuck the peninsula, not the people living here. I'm not trying to get us ruled out by an entire crowd of people that I'm sure are listening to this podcast.
I'm sure.
No one's listening to it. It's me looping it on Spotify in my car on the drive home. Like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. But so there's a huge nor'easter coming in on the East Coast, and it's supposed to affect like 11 states or something like that. But the only thing here that I fear is like a giant earthquake and then a tsunami. And I'm like, dude, the people on the peninsula are going to be the first to go.
Right.
That shit's about to get washed straight into the ocean.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm totally safe where I am.
I think the mountains will actually be the divider. If I think I'm just lying to myself at this point. Try and have some imaginary sanity of like, oh, I'm safe, I'm far enough in, but really the Puget Sound comes down and just like straight kisses next door to me. Like, I'm at the very bottom, I'm on the South Puget Sound area, so there's no way I'm not getting messed up in that, you know, that seismic earthquake they wrote about in the Seattle Times like 10 years ago or something like that.
Well, let's just hope you're on vacation somewhere when that happens.
Yeah, I was like, I was telling Zed one time, I was like, watch, like the next time we go to Canada aligns with when the San Andreas Fault finally gives. And like this whole half of the country just falls into the ocean. And you know what's really funny? Do you know the story of Avalonia? Like how the guy, he tried to create, I think if I'm correct, which there's like, I'm going to go 60-40. which is the thing I'd no, I'm not even there. I'm going to go 70%. I'm probably not right. 30%. I might be onto something, but I think it was this guy who tried to create his own nation, basically built on like the garbage and the refuse of other people. Oh. And they also wanted to build like a casino. I think that's what it is. Maybe it's not Avalonia. I don't know. The whole point is maybe it would become its own country, or like maybe it would become its own territory or something if it floated and didn't like
completely, you know, just be gone.
Yeah, if it didn't wash away into the sea bottom.
Right.
It would be Kalawashagon.
Oh, okay. I mean,
something like a Bennifer sounding name, you know, like a bring it all together.
Yeah.
But yeah, half, it would be like half of Washington, half of Oregon, and then just like most of California. And if it didn't just fall to the sea bottom, it would be its own.
Maybe
I don't know.
Maybe
I don't
it'd know be a hot me. Vacation spot. I don't know.
I doubt it. What do we have to offer?
I don't know.
I highly doubt that. I highly doubt that. But I did see, so this is also, see, I don't want to talk about the news. We don't have to talk about it. But I did see part of Highway 1 that goes along the California coast. Well, it goes along the coast, right? Mm-hmm. Part of Highway 1 like washed into the ocean because there was like a heavy rain in like Northern California. And I saw this aerial footage of it and I was like, holy shit, it's just like it just, is just gone.
Yeah.
Like the whole, it was a landslide because of all the extra rain,
mm-hmm.
which of course it decides to rain now and not when they're in the middle of like wildfire season.
Right.
Yeah. Like poor California just can't catch a break, man.
No.
So anyway, I was like, holy crap, that is real. And of course, you know, all the other things are real, like climate change. Don't let anyone else fool you. That's a thing. But the whole point of this podcast actually is that we're not going to talk about heavy things. We are going to have useless conversations about nothing.
Yes.
Because the world is too heavy right now. And I feel like a lot of people are just looking for something that is going to entertain them and not bring them down.
And if that's us, I'll take it. If yeah, not, I mean, I just enjoy talking with you. So that's a
yeah,
plus.
Well, that's kind of like now this week, there's kind of this nervous undercurrent that I have.
Yeah.
But also I just ate like takeaway Italian. So it could be that too. I'm not sure.
Maybe a combination of the two.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's like last week before I was able to just like quickly, because, and I can't emphasize this enough, this app makes it so easy,
mm-hmm.
but I was able to really quickly just edit down our audio and just produce it and put it out there.
I wasn't even ready for it.
Neither was I. Jessica. I was just fiddling around with it. I had no idea, but now I feel like there's this, you know, a little bit of a nervous energy that I have.
Yeah.
Again, also could have been this spinach cream sauce pesto ravioli that I just had. I don't know. So on that though, we touched on this last time.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about a lot of food last time.
We did.
And we had a cousin correction. So people who don't know us have no idea, and also people from small families also have no idea.
Right.
But there's usually one cousin who's like the fact checker.
Yeah.
And just so we're clear, it is neither Jessica nor is it me.
No. No.
We are not. If anything, I'm out here throwing around ideas of Avalonia, and for all I know, it's a shoe brand. So
we'll know next week.
Well, yeah, somebody go ahead and fact check that and get back to us. And by somebody, of course, I mean our big cousin, Kitty.
Right.
So So we're not going to, obviously, we're not going to put Kitty on blast, and we're not going to throw around her last name. It's neither here nor there. Kitty has corrections. So Jessica, why don't you fill me in? I've been told there's a couple.
There is a couple.
I was going to grab my notepad, but then I realized all of this is being recorded. So I just go back and listen to the audio.
Let me take a voice memo really quick.
Let me just get this down. And then you press record, and then the tape starts rolling.
Well, so really there's only two that were pointed out.
Okay.
The first one, really simple. The food item we were trying to name that had the sour cream and the cheese on the potatoes, those were Fiesta potatoes.
Yes.
They don't exist any longer with the Mexi nuggets that they used to have.
Yes. Okay. And so it's really important that I go into a little bit of specificity here. So the Mexi nugget, again, is like that is a tater tot, but it's half the size of a tater tot. It's covered in taco seasoning and it's deep fried. Or no, it's deep fried and then covered in taco seasoning, most likely.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the Fiesta potato is like if Potatoes O'Brien had no vegetable bullshit.
Right.
And then was just covered in nacho cheese and sour cream.
Right. Like no nutritional value whatsoever.
No, none. Like maybe you can argue that potatoes are a complex carbohydrate, but I wouldn't even go that far. Well, there's calcium in the sour cream. No, that's not why I'm here eating this. That's not why I'm eating at Taco Bell.
That's not why they advertised it either.
No. Oh my God. Look at this nutritious new bowl. It's got cheese. It's got the complex carbohydrate everyone loves. And it's topped in a delicious dairy protein calcium mixture that you love or that you hate, because people are very polar opposite on sour cream.
You either love it or you hate it.
It's one of those things, like, I mean, sometimes you'll meet the random person that you realize you can't trust immediately when they're on the fence about it. But for the most part, people just love it or hate it.
Yeah.
If you're on the fence about sour cream, what the fuck else are you indifferent to? I'm just saying,
be careful. Questionable. Be careful asking questions like that.
I don't want to know the answer. Okay, and also I don't want to offend the wrong person. If you're on the fence about sour cream, that wasn't directed at you. No. Just know it's a joke. And please take it with a grain of salt. Is it a grain of salt or a grain of sand? Or is it both?
I mean, I think it depends. I've always thought it was a grain of salt, but...
Me too. But I heard somebody say sand, and I was like, are you confused or am I confused? And I'm not going to correct you.
I mean, maybe it has to do with where you come from or what,
maybe,
you know.
Yeah, that's the thing with sayings. I did go to school with a boy who really hated it when people got sayings wrong.
Maybe he's out there and he can correct us.
He's not listening to this conversation at all. 100%. If he is, correct me if I'm wrong. What's the other correction, though? I'd love to know. Now that we're done talking about potatoes.
Okay, so the other one, and this might be life-changing for you, and if so, I'm sorry. Please apologize to okay. Zeb for me.
I don't know. Again, I don't know if I'm getting pasta stomach or what's going on, but you better.
So you talked about that Baja Blast, and it's a freeze, by the way. Slurpee is like 7-Eleven.
I know. I understand the difference between a freeze and icy, a slush puppy, and a Slurpee.
Okay.
By the way, a slush puppy, not to be confused with a hush puppy. Those are two different
Very
things.
Very different.
Okay. Please continue okay. about the Baja Blast.
So your Baja Blast freeze that you're in love with, and when you see this seasonally and you just have to order it, it's actually available year round.
I know, but I don't go to, what I'm saying is, even in the dead of winter.
Okay. I thought you were saying that it came across as if it's only offered certain times. And when you pull up and you see that it's offered, you order one, even if it is the dead of winter. But it is offered year round.
Oh, I only meant to connect it because that's a thing that my dad, so Slurpees in particular were a thing that my dad would always take us to do because, again, the summers in Winnipeg are brutal. Yeah. They're scorchers. I mean, they're just really hot. And so he would be like, do you guys want to stop at the 7-Eleven? And we just called it a slushy, even though all the cups are branded and it says like Slurpee. Right. It was just a slushy. And also you could get them anywhere. Like they had them, any like corner store had a slushy machine. It was just like a thing, but we always went to 7-Eleven. And we did get the Slurpee brand. We called it a slushy. But so now, as an adult, whenever I can get any beverage like that, like I'll just say to somebody at a mom and pop place, you got a blender back there? Can you make that into the iced tea into a...
So are you like a Granita coffee drinker then?
I am if it's a treat. Because what I really like, and this is disgusting, I can't even begin to believe that I'm admitting this.
Please do tell.
But so I love coffee, and it's not to say that I'm some kind of coffee like connoisseur. Like I am not the tasting expert for coffee, but I like my coffee hot in the morning. Like during the summer, I'll get an iced coffee or whatever, but I want it to still taste like coffee, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm getting a Granita, what it is, Jessica, it's a caramel frappuccino with a bunch of extra caramel. It's basically the physician's equivalent of that drink they give you right before they make you take a diabetes test. It's terrible. It is, I'm not kidding, it's so bad. And it's like so much sugar that I have to clear my schedule for the next 24 hours.
Between the caffeine and the sugar, you're on one, huh? I know.
Like, this is either going to be I'm really great and everything is great and I have so much energy, or I'm going to feel like garbage when it's over, but it's getting in there. I'm drinking the whole thing. I'm licking the caramel in the straw, the inside of that lid, all of it. I don't even, it's so bad. And I'm so disgusting.
No, I,
for doing
I,
it.
I don't think you're the only one that does that.
Well, as the kids say, that Baja Breeze Freeze slaps. I had to think about the thing. I had to be like, what the fuck do you kids say? I'm so old. Avalonia.
Oh man. Yeah, we are.
Call back.
We are getting a little bit up there.
Oh, dude, we are. So we were born in 85, 1985. Yes. And Jessica was born right before 1986 because her birthday is on New Year's Eve. And I was born on a day that sometimes ends up being Election Day. It wasn't Election Day when I was born. But yeah, so it's we're 35 this year.
Well,
how do you feel? How do you feel being 35?
Technically, we were 35 last year. We're in a new year now.
I meant, so I don't know how to, I don't know what this time frame is called. So you have a calendar year.
Okay. Yes.
And then there's like, so, and then the fiscal year is usually the same as the calendar year. But I'm going to, what is it called when you go from birthday to birthday? I don't know.
Did he help us?
There's no way. I know. She'll tell us. She'll let us know. But anyway, so we turned 35 in
Yes.
2020, the year of the great
But
quarantine.
very late in the year.
And yes, very late in the year. That's how
Like,
young we
people
are.
are coming up on their
And
second quarantine birthdays, and we just had our
yeah.
first, so.
Yeah, so suck on that, hosers.
Oh, wow. So,
But
yeah,
okay, so
35. I personally, I don't know about you. We're kind of in different places in life, but 35 was rough for me. Like the bringing it in, you know.
yeah.
I decided.
Well, when you said we were in different places, I'm like, we've already done the geography lesson, Jessica.
I didn't mean that. No,
Okay. I'm just
you're married and you have a kid, and I'm actually single and don't have any children. So we are in different places in life. And so for whatever reason, I don't know if you took 35 as hard as I did, but I did
Yeah.
change.
I'm not saying yeah, like continue talking. I'm saying yeah,
Oh,
I did.
okay. So
I
I mean,
just
I'm good
it was
now,
hard.
but it was just really hard to accept that originally.
Right.
I
Well, if it's any consolation, you can come over and get slapped in the face by my toddler at 6 a.m. every day if that's your
mean, I might sign
dream.
up for that. I don't
I
know.
don't know. I'm just so the type of person who just isn't comparative about, like, it just, so I just look at it like, man, if I didn't have a kid and I was single, I could sleep by myself. Like, no one's gonna come in and put their, like, I put my icicle toes on Zeb. But that's like to be expected when you're in a relationship. But then our little one comes in and he puts his icicle toes on
Right.
me. And then that's where I'm like, this is
Yeah.
crap. So, Gar, like, just really, man. And he's the cutest and the smartest,
Totally is.
which, and it's, I'm not, I always have to pref, I feel like I have to preface this because people, everyone's like, my kid's a fucking genius. You should see my kid this brilliant. I'm like, God damn it, he's so smart. Make it
He's
stop.
very, very smart.
And he's inquisitive and he everything just makes him really quizzical and he suddenly has a million questions. And it's not like other parents haven't experienced it, but our kid is also an only child. And so he's only around for the most part, especially because of quarantine, other than when he goes to his little like Montessori that is like really, really protective about like the virus and is being like super cautious. They haven't, I mean, knock on wood, they've done a really good
Yeah.
job and they haven't had any instances. But other than that time that he shares with those children, his classmates, he has the only contact he has is with
Right.
adults. And so he uses really big words, and his word for like when you hear other kids say the word he goes, well, probably. Or as you know, probably,
Yes, that's my
maybe.
favorite right there. In fact,
Yeah.
the last time that I was over there and I saw him, he said to me, Jessica, I probably maybe love you. And it like
Oh,
melted my heart. Like,
that's
what
right.
the, like, he's just the sweetest kid.
He's all right. Yeah, he's all right.
Oh, he's the best.
I mean, you weren't right home about it, but like, yeah, he's doing all right. He's doing all right. And I'd like to say that, I've grown into a semi-functioning adult, except for the fact that I can't tell you that, Jessica, because this weekend I did something so
Uh-oh.
stupid, so incredibly stupid. It happened yesterday, and I was going to call you and tell you, but then I was like, I'll save it. I'll harness this amazing story, and I will use it to tell
Yes, please tell.
Jessica. So So my niece came over. Whenever I reference my niece, I'm talking about my niece Annika for the most part. I have several nieces and nephews whom I love equally, but my niece Annika is like a frequent fixture in my life. And I love her very much. And so she came over basically because I had a bunch of like hand-me-downs for her son Theo. And it was like a bunch of toys because now Ezra's at an age where like his clothes don't really, they don't go very far because they get holes and stuff in them. And like, you know, and also he's way bigger than Theo because he's got like, what, 4 years on the kid. So it's not like they'll fit him anyway, but I had all these toys. And so I was like, hey, can you come pick up some of these toys, free up some room in the spare closet? So her and her husband and her baby come over to visit, and they're over, and she hands me this bag, and she goes, "Grandma sent this from my mother-in-law." To preface all of this, lives in Australia, and so she just moved there not too long ago, a few years back, with her husband, and. She said, Grandma sent, I say with her husband, it's not my husband's father, it's her second marriage. And so she moved there with her husband, and she said, Grandma sent these to my mom from Australia. And I open it, and it's these beautiful, like very floral, very tropical pattern towels. And then a couple of them have flamingos on them, and they're cute, you know, like they're pink and green, and it's all very like, it's just very cute. It's like very floral, but also like tropical and whatever. And I was like, oh, these are cute. Thank you so much. But inside there was also this beautiful like glass. I'm going to use the word placard, but it's like a tchotchke or a knickknack that you would see on someone's decorative shelf, right? And it's this beautiful little saying. It's like a little sign, and it says something beautiful about how like, you know, whenever you're not around, I say a prayer for you. It was really sweet. It was really kind and really sweet. And so I was like, oh, you know, we're gonna have to. I said to Ezra, we're gonna have to call Grandma and thank her or whatever. And Ezra agreed. And then, so that happened last weekend, the day before we did our first podcast. And so then, this weekend, I'm downstairs doing the weekly laundry roundup. Now, the weekly laundry roundup is when my son gets home, he does this fun thing where he throws all of his clothes everywhere around the first floor of our house until he's down to his t-shirt and his boxer briefs.
He
Again,
is
he
four.
is four. So it's important to remember that he is only four. So our entire first floor of our house, I say first floor like I have like five floors. This is a two-story house in a development. It's not anything crazy. But he litters the first floor with as much of the square footage of the first floor as he possibly can with the remnants of the week. He sheds it in layers and takes it off until he's down to the t-shirt and the skibbies, right? And so then on like Friday night or on Saturday morning, I have to do a weekly roundup with a laundry basket, and I have to collect up all the little articles. And it would be fair to say that it's mostly Ezra's. It would be unfair to say that it's not also every cardigan I've worn for every day of the week that I
Okay,
went to
fair
work.
enough.
And so I say to myself, oh, I should grab that bag of towels from Zeb's mom, right? So I empty the contents of the towels into the full laundry basket, right? And I put it all in the wash, and I start the wash, and then I go to move the laundry 2 hours later because that's apparently how long the fancy washing machines take. It's about 2 hours. Just now finding that out, I thought it was like a half hour per load my entire life until recently when we upgraded. But it's only because you can fit so much stuff in there, I think. So I go to move it like 2 hours later, and Jessica, I washed that glass placard and it broke into a million pieces in my washing machine. And not only that, but there were four brand new pairs of pajamas that Zebulon just got on clearance, and like three of my knit like cardigans.
Oh, no.
I know. You don't need to tell me because I was yelling at myself. I cursed at myself. And then I was like, Dad! And I called for him and he came running upstairs and I'm standing there crying, holding the vacuum, trying to get shards of glass off of everything, you know? And so, I mean, maybe I am just stupid and I have been all along, but.
I think you're just a busy person and you forgot.
I'm so busy. I don't have any more wicks or candle ends to burn at this point. And I just felt so bad too, because I'm like, this is a beautiful gift from your mom. And I was going to put it on that little shelf downstairs. And I totally forgot it was in that bag with the towels. And now what do I do? And literally, like, because this washing machine is so great, I've never had a problem mixing my loads. Like, I used to keep my towels like separate from the rest of my clothes and not wash that stuff together. It was like, you know, the cardigans go on the gentle cycle with like the blouses, and then the kids' clothes go in because they're the most dirty. But with this washing machine, it's like it knows what each thing is. I don't, it's got a mind of its own. So I just like throw the stuff in and I just like add the, you know, hypoallergenic soap because my kids got worse eczema than you've ever seen in your life. And so, yeah, it's all covered in glass. And so I have spent the entire weekend washing and then vacuuming out and wiping out and washing and vacuuming out and wiping out my washing machine and this load. Yes, and this load of laundry. And then after every time I put something through the dryer, I'm vacuuming the lint trap. The lint trap. Yes. And it's just little, I can see it still, these little specks of glistening glass. So I'm like, do I just like scrap this entire load of laundry? What do I do? If anyone has any suggestions, you can go ahead and just leave it down in the comments on Facebook. But yeah, I've never done anything that dumb. So I just feel so terrible. I couldn't feel worse. And now I do when I start placing that call, I'm going to get spaghetti stomach just all over again.
Don't order from that place before you call her. Jesus. You'll be okay. It'll all work out.
So I thank you. Thank you, Jessica, for your words of encouragement. It means a lot. So speaking of orderings, we can shift focus a little bit off of my terrible mistake. But so you know very well that I'm not the best cook. And I don't try to hide this. I try to work on it because I want to be a good cook for my family and I want things to come out like really delicious and nutritious. So Zeb and I have decided, and also it's expensive to like not cook at home. And we talked about this last week a little bit, but we have a menu that we try to like stick to or whatever. But we found ourselves, because I have been so busy these last few weeks with like school and stuff, school and work and momming and trying to do the weekly laundry roundup and the dishes every other night and just like whatever. Or every night, depending upon the mess I make, because I'm such a bad cook. But anyway, I digress. We found ourselves just ordering a lot of food. And it was just getting out of order to the point where I'm sure the Uber Eats people were like, we have to stop going to this house at some point. So we've limited ourselves to the first and then once on the first and once on the 15th, basically the same as if it were a paycheck, right? Like that. So that's when we either order or Zeb will go pick something up. Cause again, I only leave my house for work. That's basically it because of COVID, not because I'm, you know, maybe I am a recluse now. I don't know. We'll see what happens after COVID. Maybe that's who I am now. And that's just how I live my life. But at any rate, So this was our like the meal of the first, because tomorrow is the first, and we decided to do it today because I was like, listen, I had to work on my English homework all day. As I told you, I was going to be busy all day today working on my English homework, which has not, it
Yeah,
has
I've
not
been
been
there.
easy. Yeah, it has not been easy, and I'm trying to get straight A's too, so it's so hard. But anyway, so to work on that, and I told Zeb that I really wanted to focus on the podcast, which I mean has, it's that's good and bad because I want things to feel authentic when we talk, but also like I don't want to, I want to have something to talk about. I don't know. It is kind of, it's supposed to be useless conversations, so take that
Right.
with a grain of salt, right? Or sand or
Exactly.
glass from my dryer. But so this was supposed to be our big like first of the month ordering, which we've done for like the last month or 2 months. We instituted it a month ago, and we've been trying to, and we followed it in January. So now we're hitting February. It's the first. We're gonna get the one meal, right? And I, anyway, we made the mistake of letting the child pick dinner, and he said spaghetti. And so we ordered from this Italian restaurant that's local. It's like a locally owned small mom and pop place, and I sent Zeb to go get it. I could have made better from the frozen department at Costco. It was so terrible that even my kid was like, I don't like the spaghetti. And what kid do you know who's like, red sauce
Hi.
on noodles? No, thank you.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, of course, he has his picky moments, but like he was literally like, this is icky, mom. Like, get it away from me. I'm not interested.
Kids are honest.
Yeah, it's very true. So anyway, and then Zeb got a calzone that was like double the size of my face. But then Ezra and I had nor like pasta's always in big portions, and then in our family, I feel like we make it like we're feeding a Trojan army of people that are just going to pop out of a wooden horse and need to be fed.
I know it's I don't know what to do
I
about that. That's
think
one thing that I have a problem with is smaller portions when
yes.
I cook.
The same thing here. I don't know. I think it's because my mom was so used to cooking for so many people that when I was young, we always had leftovers. And so
Yeah.
we just always thought that leftovers were like, can you hear my son?
I can.
Oh. Zeb, whenever it's bath time, Zeb chases him up the stairs as the tickle monster. And he's
Oh.
like, oh, the tickle monster's gonna get you. Daddy's gonna get you. Ha, ha, ha. And then they get so loud and just interrupt my whole podcast.
It's fine.
I wasn't looking for your approval. I was looking for someone to help me shame them, but okay.
Oh, there's a lot of households that have that struggle about figuring out what to do for meals.
Yeah.
Our household is the same. Like, what do you want? Like, I don't care, you pick. I'm not picking, you pick.
Yeah.
You know?
And then at a certain point, I'm like, do we just, at this point, do we just phone it in and everybody has a cold cut sandwich? Because, like, I don't want to make the whole thing if, like, we're not all eating the whole thing.
Right.
And Zeb and I
Yeah.
we never want the same thing, but we'll eat the thing that the other one wants as long as we think we can get our kid to eat it, which we never can. He'll
Yeah.
he's a bullshitter. He'll say that he's gonna eat it.
And then he doesn't.
Exactly. And then I can't, even his pediatrician was like, Kim, first named me, first of all. So it got real for a minute. And he was like, you have to just leave the food on the table. Like, if he's hungry, he will eat.
Right.
But I can't because he looks at me and he starts crying and he's like, I really want my dessert, but you've put me in this terrible predicament of hating what you brought me. And so turns into this terrible thing where I'm then like catering a second meal to a 4-year-old who has learned that just by looking directly into my soul and quivering his lip a little bit, I will give him anything.
Yes.
Not great. Not a good,
No.
no.
You know, once you give that power, it's hard to regain it.
I've come to a decision that that's who I am as a mom. And I hate to say this because I always was like, that's never going to be my kid. My kid's not going to get second dinner or whatever. Sometimes I'll make his ass third dinner if the second dinner doesn't hit right. I just can't.
I have done my fair share of babysitting or nannying, and I've gotten myself into a few predicaments. I was watching one of my friend's kids one time, and there was all this paint out on the table, like the kitchen table, and like different paper and utensils to paint with. And she was like, "Can I paint?" And I was like, "Well, does your mom let you paint?" And she's like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Cool, paint away, you know?" And then in the midst of the painting, mom came home and was like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "What do you mean, what are we doing? We're painting." And it was like, "She's not allowed to do that." It was like,
Oh,
and then it was like, "Jessica, why'd you let her do that?" And it was like, "Well, she said she could."
no. Okay, can we just I want us to backtrack here to the blame shifting just a little and just remember that I made the mistake of trusting a child, but you made the mistake of trusting me with your child. And so this really is your fault. And also, not to be rude, but like you left it out.
I mean, all the signs were there that it was okay to do.
Right. Okay. So see.
But I guess, in all fairness, it taught me that you cannot trust what a child says.
Oh,
Like, they will
absolutely.
tell you anything to get what they want.
Absolutely. I mean,
Lesson
absolutely.
learned.
I remember when we were little and we got in trouble for something. Now, I don't remember what it was, but I do know that it was something where we both ended up in the corner. And our townhouse, it's not like our townhouse was devoid of extra corners, but somehow we ended up in the same corner.
Okay.
And I was crying hysterically, the injustice of it all. How dare you accuse me of this thing that I absolutely didn't do? The audacity, mom, the audacity of you. And you just turned to me and you were like, if you just shut up and be quiet, we're going to get out of this. You have to stop.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, Jessica. And I remember turning to you and crying and being like, it's not fair. We've done nothing wrong. We're perfect children. This is so unfair. How could we ever be put in this corner? And you just looked at me and you were like, we did it. You better shut up.
Yeah.
And they were like, Jessica, you get to leave the corner. It was literally like you, and you were having 0% of my meltdown. So you were actually a very strong child in that way, where you were like, not only is this is are you straight mess, but like I'm not engaging in it, I'm not participating with it. I'm having no, in no way, shape, or form am I getting down with this malarkey that you're trying to pull.
I'm very
Shut the
much
fuck
a,
up
yeah,
so we can
I'm
get
a
out of the
rule
corner.
follower. I don't want to get an extra five. Like,
Yeah, I think it was about one point you said, stop talking to me because I don't want to answer you. And I remember specifically being like, how can you? This is egregious what has happened to us. How can you possibly be on the side of the monarchy? We're all gonna burn. If I'm going down, we're all going down. I was not having
No,
it. 0% of that punishment was I having.
Well, I mean, I think that goes back to us kind of being opposites, maybe not even just where we are in life, but we've always kind of been opposites, and maybe that's why we're so close. You know, like the whole opposites attract.
Yes, that's true. We've always been thick as thieves, and we always have had very opposite reactions to similar situations.
Right. Like,
so
I don't know. I mean, now in adulthood, you're definitely more outgoing than I am.
Yeah.
And I too was very shy at a young age, but I've kind of had to pull myself out of that, like school and different jobs I've had. And I just kind of, okay, so I used to work in a phone center.
Yeah,
and, I remember. And in the call center, I was taking calls one day, and I realized I was talking to somebody in Florida. And we had this whole conversation. I got off the call, and I was like, wow, that was a great conversation. And then I realized, like, I wouldn't even look at the people around me at my desk. Like,
right.
I didn't even know their names.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I could have this excellent conversation with, you know, Cindy in Florida, but I can't look to Sarah next to me and like even have a conversation with her. Like, this is a little ridiculous. And that's kind of what pulled me out of my shell, was working in a call center. So I've gotten a lot better, and I would say I'm probably more on an outgoing, but I always have been a rule follower. Like, I'm not like, I'm not like, let's break all the rules and go have fun. I'm like, let's have fun, but let's mind the laws, you know?
Yeah.
Are we allowed to do that?
It's so funny because I think, because I'm the same way, and I think that everybody thinks that they inherently try to do the right thing, right?
Sure.
Like, morally speaking. But I guess it depends on what your moral compass is set to, because that day, very specifically, I was on no bullshit mode, which meant that I was having 0% of whatever that punishment was for. I'm sure it was something egregious that I had done, something terrible.
Honestly,
or whatever.
I don't even recall this happening, but I would believe
very
you.
Little.
I would believe that just, it happened.
I only, you know how there's like a handful of memories that you have before a certain age.
Sure.
That just happens to be one of them. And I think it's because I had such an emotional reaction. And I think for you, you don't even remember it because you were just like, shut the fuck up, Kimmy.
Like, we didn't like, do the time and let's get out of here.
Yeah. Stick your nose in the corner and like suck it up. And at a certain point, my mom was like, go lay down. Like, you need to your day needs to be done. Like, you've had it. You've had enough. So yeah, I don't know. I think that I've always been a rule follower too. I think I broke out of my shell in junior high because I moved.
Okay.
And so we moved, and I ended up going to a completely different school district. And I realized, like, well, at my last school district, it was where I had gone for the majority of like elementary school and then into middle school, I was so unpopular, I got teased a little bit. Like, every kid gets teased, though. I'm convinced that like every kid can be a bully and every kid gets bullied.
Sure.
If that makes sense, to a certain degree. Like, there were obviously people who were bigger bullies.
Right.
But there were obviously like moments where I was probably not the nicest person.
Yeah.
Right.
Honestly, I probably still think, I mean, I can think of a couple of things I've done in my schooling career that I'm like, wow, I was not nice.
Yeah. I have one that I replay in my head like a shame spiral. It's like a reel of shame, and I just play that one over and over and apologize to the other person in my head. But that's a completely different story for another day.
Yeah.
But I just moved, and I have this realization, like, well, I hardly ever really talked to anybody there, and I was unpopular. So if I just like do what I do around my family, like just joke and bullshit and whatever here, what's the worst thing that can happen? I can just continue to be unpopular. And that's when I started actually making friends,
Yeah.
was when I was like, well, I just hit like fuck it mode and was like, listen. And, and I went through something really traumatic because my dad passed when I was young.
Right.
And I think losing a parent at that age, it did, it was, I was like on the brink of 12 years old when it happened. I was 11 at the time. And I think that I just kind of, I was like, well, I'm kind of emotionally a wreck. And the only way I get it out is when I fuck around with people and tell jokes. So I'm just going to do that.
Right.
And I think that that's kind of how I, it was, it's slowly but surely became my coping mechanism. And then when I was in high school, I went to high school at three different high schools. And so it wasn't as much. And I remember one time joking around too much and hurting someone's feelings and then feeling really guilty about it, but like not knowing how to apologize. But then when I started working in a restaurant, let me tell you, nothing will prepare you for slinging scampi at what I will refer to, as one of my friends says, the Denny's of seafood. I'm not going to mention the name because they made us sign this really weird privacy waiver when social media got big. Because I was there, I worked there from like high school, like into my mid-20s.
Right.
And so that was like the growth of social media, like the expansion of social media happened while I was there.
Right.
And they made us sign this really weird waiver. But I'm sure everyone can figure out that it's a color and a crustacean. Just put those two things together, slap a biscuit on it, and you know what I'm talking about. But it's an American chain. I think that it's actually international if you include like the one in Mexico and the two in Canada or whatever. But at any rate, nothing will instill in you the ability to sort of be a chameleon and also to like be quote unquote on, like having to get people to like you or having to please people than working in a restaurant. Nothing can, that movie Waiting with Ryan Reynolds and Justin
That
Long,
is why I never send
not.
food back, by the way.
No, I know. No, to be fair, no one I worked with ever did that. No, nobody that I knew ever did anything terrible, even if the food got sent back. But what I do know is if there's any, there's never been something more accurate about the culture
Right.
of a restaurant. And I'm not just talking about like table side, having to please people, having to get things right. I'm talking about when your feet hit the tile. So there's the carpet, which is like where the tables are. That's the
Right.
floor. And then there's the tile. That's the back of the house, the heart of the house. And back there, it's sink or swim, and you only make it if you're funny. Like you can only get through the tragedy of having to shell out, pun intended, like food for hours on end without a break.
Yeah.
And so it literally, I think that's what did it for me, was like my late teens and my early and mid 20s, I had to do it. That's how I put my husband through college. Like that's what I had to do in order to make it happen. But it changed me as a person too. It like it made me have to be like outgoing and bubbly. Seriously, I think that it's all just like it's just dumb luck. I fall back asswards into stuff. I'm telling you.
No, it's
It's true.
so I decided when you sent me our podcast last week that I
Yeah.
was gonna show my roommates and get a
Right.
real reaction, you know?
And they didn't. Here's the thing, and I'm used to your roommates being very supportive of my ideas.
So I'm showing them, and I can tell there's just not that spark there. So I was really regretting, because at this point you had already shared it. And I was really regretting that you had shared it and tagged me in it. And they weren't getting it.
To be fair, it's not the type of media that they really generally follow.
Well, it's not, but it was like, my feedback was like, I'm going to try to quote this. Okay. It was, I'm sorry, Jessica. I don't enjoy listening in on people's conversations where they talk about Taco Bell for 15 minutes. And I was like, okay, thanks, Mom. And then all of a sudden I realized, like, you know that stand-up, you know Gabriel Iglesias, where he talks about how his mom does not think he's funny at all? Like, I totally felt those words. Like, my parents are not a fan of my podcast. And so my friends are trying to tell me it's just not their, like you said, their media. They don't quite understand podcasts. So my dad comes in and he's like, that was really good, Jess. Like, we should finish it. And I was like, no, you can't do that now. You clearly don't like it. And I'm okay with that.
Right.
But please know, I will be throwing you guys under the bus regularly. So if you don't listen, you miss out.
I was going to make a joke about how he started backpedaling, but then I remember he just really hurt his knee.
He did. So that was an interesting day. So we had a
your roommates, man.
I tell you. I mean, they're so bossy. My dad got injured. We had a big windstorm here.
Yeah.
And we lost power.
Yeah, remember? I was like, we got to get you out of there. You got to evacuate. And you're like, a tree fell near us.
Like, it's fine. There were several down trees. So, you know, my parents sold their house and we moved out to the lake, and we're not supposed to be roommates. They're supposed to be my landlords, really. We've decided to do some tiny home living, and the first tiny home was supposed to be delivered in November, and here we are. You said tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow is February and we still have no home.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're kind of like, I wouldn't call it camping, but it's kind of like camping. Like, we're living in trailers.
Yeah, it's like glamping a little bit.
So we're roughing it through the winter. So we lost power. There's down trees everywhere because we're outside of town. And I don't know how to run the generator. That was not something that was shown to me. And then we have tarps on things and those start blowing away. So my mom calls my dad.
Yeah, because you guys have that awesome like golf cart too, and the tarp flew off of that and you're trying to wrangle it.
Chasing tarps. Yeah. It was a nightmare. So we say, okay, my mom calls and is like, you really need to come home. Like, this is a disaster. And so we're like trying to save tarps. And so we finally get it, like, with two of us doing it, we're getting somewhere. Like, he had only been home for like 10 minutes and he did this, I don't even know what it was. It was like kind of like a jump grab kind of thing.
I'm gonna use the word maneuver.
Sure. It was an awkward maneuver. And he right, was okay. trying to hook the top of the tarp, but he was on the edges of the stairs. And it was like that disaster right. that you see happening in front of you and you can't do oh, anything no. to stop it. Like, I tried to get to him and catch him, but it was just like, I was just too far away and he's bigger than me and I just could not save him. And so he ended up, snapping his patella tendon. And I could tell right away, like, so I also am pre-nursing. I'm trying to get into nursing school. It's really hard. I just finished a CNA course. And, you know, shout out to CNAs out there, because nurses couldn't do half of what they do without CNAs. Oh. That's a tough job.
And but by the way, our grandmother right. was a nurse, and to all the nurses out there and the assistants, for everyone who, especially right now in the middle of a global Absolutely. Pandemic, is literally wiping yes. asses and like
and
making
not only
stuff happen.
The nurses and the CNAs Poorly. And the doctors, but like, how about the cleaning crews going? I mean, I was doing a clinical yeah. in a hospital in the middle of this pandemic, and you know, they yeah. they could not function without everybody doing their jobs in the hospital.
Yeah, and then the ultimate goal is that nursing school. I know you're gonna do great. I never questioned it for a second. It's what you're made to do. You're so comfortable with it. Well, I am not.
But here's the thing, like, my parents won't let me quit. They're like, no, you will be a nurse. And I'm like, well, I'm really trying and it's not yeah. working out, guys. And they're like, no, you're going to be a nurse. But then something
you should really complain to your roommates about how much your parents
know,
pressure you like
I
that.
You really should sit down and have a chat with them. But then yeah. something like this happens and they go from, and I understand, I'm sure there's some shock factor involved. So it was like yeah. one of those things. Okay. So I've had anatomy physiology, right? I had to learn the 206 bones we have in our body and I know the placement of them, especially easy ones like your kneecap. And so as soon as that happened, I was like, Dad, don't move. Like, your knee is not in the right place. Like, I could see it through his jeans. And he, no, like, sure. of course, like, anyone in shock and, like, trying to get out of the pain that they're in, like, yanked his leg straight, right? And he's like, help right. me up, right? So I'm, like, trying to help him up, thinking no, he's sure. gonna, like, go from being on the wet ground onto, like, the step right there. Instead, he tries to right. stand up. And I'm like, no, Dad, you need to sit down. And he's like, well, like, my ass is getting wet. Like, that's the biggest problem we have right now. It's not that his knee right. is not in the right spot. It's my ass is getting wet and I cannot be on that ground. And I'm like, ooh, like, we need to pick our battles, oh, right?
No. right. As you're lifting his ass,
right?
Literally
so then
off
I'm
the
like
ground,
trying to like, maneuver him so he sits on the step, and instead he tries to stand up and put weight on the knee. That's and so he oh, fell God. Back down, and then we were back in that same predicament of his ass getting wet. So
oh,
I was like,
God.
We need to go to the hospital, and he was like, I'm not going to the hospital right now. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm no sure. doctor, but I can tell you right now, you need the hospital. And yeah. he's stubborn and he wouldn't, so I had to call and make a regular doctor's appointment.
No, I was just going to say, he's so stubborn and he's such a just like rub dirt
yeah,
on it
like,
kind of guy.
Just put it back in place for me and I'll go back to work tomorrow. And I'm like, Dad, yeah. I can't do that. Like,
he's like, slap an ace
yeah,
bandage around it. It'll be
it. Fine. It's
fine.
But, you know, since then, you know,
I'll just drag it behind me and use my
yeah,
other
and,
leg.
Know, if, and here's the thing. If he would have just listened to me and let me take him to the hospital, this is something that would have been repaired quickly. They would have had the results right then.
Right.
He would have been recovering sooner.
Probably, yeah. And less scar tissue,
yeah.
I would imagine. Instead
you know,
of, you
instead,
know, waiting.
It took a week for him to get surgery because he has to do everything his way. So, you know.
Right. Well, now, and again, this is just another one of those cases where, your roommates come to you and they're like, we really wanted to talk to you about the dishes situation. And you're like, oh, okay. So, like, the time you needed to go to the hospital and didn't listen to me, I'll be in my part of the RV.
Yeah,
Bye. But then you can't actually leave because there's no, like, where to go.
Oh.
Oh, we laugh because otherwise it would be
Yeah,
so
we've
sad. But no,
I
I
mean, like,
know.
I get that quarantine has been rough for everyone. Like, I'm right there with you, but I feel like my quarantine is like, you cannot, like, I just can't make it up, you know? Like,
No,
I,
no.
you know,
I
I.
know. It's literally isn't doesn't it just feel and I and of course mine has been completely different from yours because I just live with my immediate family. For part of it, my niece and nephew and their baby were living here because the place where they were living was getting renovated. But for the most part, it's my house, so it's like my terms and whatever. But doesn't it just feel like getting hit by one freight train and then feeling like this is the recovery moment, and then you just get
Yeah,
hit by another one.
that's totally how my life has
Yeah,
been for
and you're like,
the
I'm sorry, this is
Which,
a
you
guess.
know, I'm somebody who
But
tries to stay happy and positive, and I laugh things off as much as possible because life would be
yeah.
miserable if we didn't have laughter. And, but, you know, it was like
Exactly.
early in the quarantine, I went through a breakup, and so it was like, you know, nothing serious, you know, only 14 years. So, I mean, it was quite easy just to break, you know, cut that off. And then it's like, we pick up and we like
Yeah.
pack everything up and we move because my parents sold their house, and so we've got stuff in
Yeah.
storage and we're like have no storage out here, so we're like missing half the things we normally live with and roughing it. And it was supposed to be a temporary thing, and without going too far into detail, we ended up figuring out we were gonna have to do tiny home living, which is fine. My parents have two lots at our lake place.
Right.
And
Well,
so
that's
the
the nice
idea
place,
is
yeah.
that I'm on one, they're on the better one. Because let's be real, I'm
Right.
not getting the front one.
Don't get the lake
Yeah, and
view.
we're making it to where they're both a lake view, and that's the way they want it. Like,
Right.
that's what their plan is. But our
Right, right,
plan
right.
was to move out of the trailer that we're in now into the one that we made room for on mine. Mine had trailers on it. We had to get rid of those. My mom.
Right, and you guys want to put the
Right.
tiny
So,
home there,
and we had
right?
to do all this stuff to get it ready for the tiny home, which we thought would be here again in November, and it's not. And so the plan
Right.
was, and you know, my mom lovingly calls this place the mud pit.
I know. Whenever she says that, she prefaces it with fucking, so she's like, or she says, damn, we're living in a damn mud
So,
pit. It's like it's more emphasis to the
and
situation
she's
that
not
is just it's just
lying. Like,
very
we moved these
funny.
other trailers that were there and nothing that's left under it except for dirt. And then we get
Oh
snow, and then it melts. And then it rains, and then snow and melt and rain. And so it's just like this slushy mud. Like, we really do live in a mud pit.
it's like a slurry of all the ground and then the groundwater and then the snow and then it melts and you've got puddles and then it's
And
just a
so
whole
then we were going to
mess.
move into mine together,
Ooh.
you know, to have like a home while we
Right.
get their
Your
space
tiny
ready for
home
their
together.
home. I mean, I'm sure someday we'll look back at this and laugh, but it's not today.
No,
It's just been an
ma'am.
interesting quarantine. I'm sure other people have gone through different stressors, and
Oh yeah.
but I choose to laugh at it and make fun of it because that's who I am.
Well, because right. What's the alternative? I mean, honestly, and why are we doing, I mean, we're doing this podcast, but mostly it's to make each other laugh.
Like, because even if nobody listens.
Yeah. Even if no one ever listens to this or cares about the nonsense, the useless conversations right. that we have with one another, which we were already doing this, by the way, to anyone who does decide to listen, we just weren't recording it for your or anyone else's benefit. I feel like we just took our whole week and would call each other on the weekends and have like a satirical shit fest of sarcastic comments thrown at the situations yeah. of the week. And that's been over a year now of us just getting stressed out by talking nonsense yeah. and spitting nothing. And we finally decided, like, actually, I wonder if this is a thing. Like, maybe other people would benefit from, like, laughing yeah. at our bullshit. So if people find some slight comfort in the fact that you're not alone and that your life is just as shitty as ours.
Like, I mean,
the love that we have between us as a family has been very enduring and has not always been like super kind, but it's been real.
Yeah.
It's been very real, and no one's ever gonna, I mean, we might talk shit in the corner, but we'll also talk it to your face. So
yeah,
I don't know. Like earlier today you were, no. The last time we talked on the phone, you were like, just so you know, I'm in the same room as my mom. And I was like, oh no, because I was just about to talk so much shit about her. And then your mom in the background, I hear her just say, bring it on! Yeah, bring it on. Like, and if that is not the definition of family, then I guess I just don't know
yeah,
what it is.
Yeah, we...
So I mean, that's all I really have to say about that. I don't. Our life is hard, and it's going to be a lot harder if we don't make each other laugh and love each other through it, especially during some dumb shit like a full-on quarantine and you guys surviving in a mud pit.
I mean, someday I will tell the next generation, and nobody will believe me. Like you can't yeah, make up that like.
No,
like, I say this to my brother all the time because my brother and I actually had to do this, and it just kind of blows my mind, something you never thought you'd be saying. But on St. Patrick's Day last year, I stood in a Black Friday line for toilet paper. Like, who ever thought, like, yeah, we're going to run out of toilet paper and that's going to be a thing.
I know.
And then to have to stand in a line, like we got out of the car and like ran up to the door and we're like third in line. And then everyone started getting out of their cars and like rushing to get in line. Like it was Black Friday, but it was on St. Patrick's Day at 7 o'clock in the morning at a Target. Like, please have toilet paper. Do you have toilet paper? That's all we're here for.
Yeah. And then like without me even knowing, I just get a text message that says, Corey and I just stood in a line for toilet paper and I saw your Facebook post. Don't yeah. worry.
Oh yeah.
And but that's the thing is like, right. So you can't make it up. There was no guessing that the first thing people were going to go for during a respiratory viral global pandemic was ass wipe. But as a nation, at least we know who we are yeah, now.
I mean,
if we didn't already, we definitely did after that. It was interesting. It was definitely interesting to see the things that people went for and like, the grocery stores and stuff running out yeah. of food. Oh. Just like all this purchasing.
And you know, like our grandma went through the Great Depression.
Yeah. Oh, and so, yes. And she thought Y2K was a yes, common.
And she wanted all of us to come live with her, which if I realize kind of how we're living now, think about
yeah.
all of us on their property. I mean, that would have been a disaster in itself. But
oh my god,
we used to have our jokes about how we were going shopping at grandma's because she stocks so much food and coffee and frozen stuff because Y2K was the end. And I mean, I just think about like what would have happened if she would have been alive for this. Like, we're going to be the generation that hoards toilet paper, obviously.
You know, she would have been like, these idiots don't even know they can crap in a field and wipe their and use water to wash off their ass. She would have been so embarrassed about the things that we decided to hoard. I mean, we're talking canned food and frozen food and just smart things. Like, she even bought, like, she bought, like, seeds, and we, the whole plan was to, like, even have grain and stuff like that. But then Y2K came and went. And it was winter. Yeah, and she was planning on having a great grain crop in the spring, and nothing happened. And so all that, you know, all that stuff went to waste, but she definitely had plans for it to not go to waste, and she really thought it was going to go down.
Yeah,
she was like, we got to prepare, because I lived through this once before, and I'm not doing this shit again.
I'm not going to be poor like I was before. I'm going to have food.
No. She was like, we're going to eat. I'm not going hungry ever again. But I remember, so there's two things that I very specifically remember about Grandma's hoard. And the first one is exactly what you said, going shopping at Grandma's. Because even all the way up until 2006, when Zeb and I were living in our first apartment, I would show up and be like, Grandpa, is it cool if I take a couple of cans of this and a couple of cans of that? And he'd be like, just get it out of the house. I don't got room for all this food. I mean, and it was like 6 years, and you know, of course some of the, I'm sure the green beans are expired, but does canned food really expire? I don't know, but probably, and I probably did eat bad green beans, but that's not the point. The point is this, even 6 years later, he had food left over from the 1999
hoard. It was going to support like 100 of us.
Yeah, she was, and to be clear, again, they had 9 kids, and then all those kids had kids.
And spouses.
And then all those kids have kids. Anything. But she definitely thought we were going to be our own little commune of people. And then the second thing is, I was there when Grandpa was throwing away like the buckets of the weed, right? And so I'm like, Grandpa, what should we do? What do we do with this? Do you want to plant it? And he was like, I never wanted to plow it in the first place. We're just dumping it. Get it out of here. And I was like, Grandpa, like, she can hear you. Like, she's in the house. And he's like, she doesn't have her hearing aid in anyway. Like, he was willing to talk the shit, but only if he knew for sure she couldn't hear him, about how he didn't want to actually have to be the one to plow the field that she intended to plant. It was the funniest thing. It was probably the funniest thing Grandpa's ever said to me.
Wow.
Except for, well, I mean, Grandpa had a lot of great one-liners. His favorite thing was to tell, like, dad jokes. But his favorite thing was when we got older to tell the dirty dad joke.
They, like, I can't tell you how many times I had to say, Grandpa, you can't tell me that.
You can't say that to me, Grandpa. I'll never forget. Let's close the show with this, because I got to go read the Berenstain Bears to the kid, because he's still stuck on the Midwestern accent.
Oh, we didn't get to hear that.
Oh, it's okay. We can save it for never. So, what's the difference between a vitamin and a hormone?
I already know the.
You can't hear a vitamin. Oh, Grandpa. He was such a dynamic person. He was an American hero. He was the kind of man who loved, but loved just so big and worked hard his entire life. And he was secretive in very weird ways. And he hid my shoes constantly. It was such a big part of my childhood that it was the thing I said at his funeral. And then I thought about it and I was like, why did you tell that story about him hiding your shoes? But it's literally, I mean, it's who he was. He was so funny and, you know, he was a coach and a teacher and then just a Marine and a dad and a grandpa. And he was the best. He was. I miss him a lot.
Dirty jokes and all, man.
Oh, wait. Big shout out to our cousin, yeah. Jody. Jody, we love you so much. And we know that you're going through it. And no one needs to know your personal business. We just love you. And we're sending you good vibes or whatever makes you feel good. Prayers and love and the whole thing. Yes, and get well soon. Okay.
I love you.
I love you.